Jeremy Riddle. And I want to start by commending two people to you. So the first one is Jeremy Riddle himself, because I'm pretty sure a lot of you are going, hands up, anybody who actually knows who this guy is and has seen him. Okay, there we go, two people. So, fangirl here, there are two people in the room that have been in his presence and probably don't even remember because they were with me. Jeremy Riddle was with Bethel Church over in America. He's now with Vineyard Anaheim. He's an American songwriter, worship leader, and I can't exactly remember how and when I first came across his work, but for the last 8 years, he's been a worship leader that I have admired for the way that he leads, the way he ushers in God's presence, the way he carries that weight that a prophet carries. And he was one of the worship leaders that Jess and Ali Lacey and I went to see when we saw Bethel, came across for worship nights in 2016, not that it's 8 years ago. Yeah, you don't remember. 8 years ago, Ali, it's all right, you've slept since then. But so I've had the privilege of being led in worship by him. And yes, I'm a bit of a fangirl. And as much as Louise would go on about Gary Barlow, I would probably bang on about Jeremy Riddle because I think he's great. So if you want to see him, if you put in YouTube, Bethel Worship Moments, Jeremy Riddle, you will get loads of videos of him leading worship at Bethel. They have spontaneous moments, and they also have long worship sets as well. Long, long one. But there we go. So, being a fan, when I saw he'd written a book in 2020, I was interested, but I didn't buy it. Why? Well, because I knew I would love it, because I'd listened to him talk and do teaching things on Bethel's Worship U website that they do. So I'd seen him teach. I knew I would agree with it. I knew I'd love it. I knew it would be have some important things to put in place. But I knew at that point I would just be upset because I'd be reading stuff I wanted to do and I wouldn't have been able to do it. So that was the first time it came across my nose. And then last year, the lovely Emma, she's on her year out with us, and we were having a meeting, and she says to me, Liz, I'm reading this book. I was like, oh, well, you know, that's the second time it kind of knows. That time, I actually bought it. June 2023, last year, I bought the book. Did I read it? No. But finally, here we are. The news comes around. We're going to do a worship series. I was like, now is the time to read it. And so I have read as far as up to here. I haven't gone ahead. So it's great, and there's a really good. If you're prophetic in any way, if you're really Holy Spirit led in any way, chapter 5 on dreams is really good. And I tell you that because we won't be covering that. If you want to see it, read it for yourself. So all of that to say, the second person I want to commend to you is Emma herself. This book is written by a worship leader and it's aimed at worship leaders. Emma has waded through this. She's crafted it into a sensible and meaningful sermon series for you guys. She has done the hard work of sifting out the unnecessary specifics to worship leaders to bring you the heart of what's important in this book for us all as worshippers. And as I mentioned prophecy, I feel like if this book was in the Bible, it would be tucked in the minor prophets, that weight. And if you remember when Emma started and brought it to us, she felt she was carrying a weight of urgency. That I do feel that carries this. So as we've endorsed Emma as our worship development coordinator, how much more does God endorse her for us? What she's drawn from this book is important and are the building blocks for how to develop our worship during the next 3 years. It's that important. I believe it's that important to us. So, because we can always do more, we can always learn more and be continuously striving for a deeper walk with God. So I'm very grateful to Emma for doing the hard work. There we go. So today, actually, although it's the fourth sermon, it's actually chapter 6 of the book, that is born of the Spirit. Heather, I may forget to use this thing, but there we go, born of the Spirit. In her notes to us as preachers, Emma wrote this. This is about the power of the Holy Spirit and recognizing him, understanding that the presence is a person and we should walk in relationship with him. Jeremy starts the chapter saying this. Without question, the greatest need we have in this hour is for men and women who are full of the Holy Spirit. And the lovely Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians, and this is Jeremy as well. What we desperately lack is the mighty presence and power of the Spirit flowing through yielded vessels. And Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. What I'm hoping to bring to you today are some of the insights that God has been waking me up with over the last 2 weeks so that we can have a greater understanding and an ability to worship him in spirit and truth, but more than that, to walk with him in spirit and truth. Jeremy Riddle says this, and I agree with him. I said, life with the Holy Spirit will ruin you for the ordinary. When you taste what's available through simple submissive partnership to his leadings, you will never want to do life any other way. And I really agree with that. And I'm standing here going, do you know, this has been a reset for me. I'm going, do you know what, it's right. And I'm like, I really remember that. I need to get back to that. He, in his book, splits his worship leading into two eras. Before, where he was largely ignorant of the Holy Spirit. And then after, which was marked by an intentional pursuit of his leading and consistent obedience to whatever I felt him prompt me to do or sing. And so a lot of what Jeremy says is aimed at worship leaders. The context of his stories is within worship leading. And so it's probably not for everyone. So if you are a worship leader, if you feel, I would wholly recommend the book to you. But he starts with a bit of scripture. And I've taken this one from the Message because I really think it sums everything up really well. In Philippians 3, verse 3, it says, the real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. And then also Galatians. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And then he says, in all this, I can only share with you my journey. I see his journey, worship leader to worship leader. He starts with this. He says, following the Holy Spirit is not isolated to your spiritual assignments. It involves the whole of your life and decision-making process. And you can see why Emma really felt this chapter is important for all of us. And all I can bring to you as well is my experience of walking with the Holy Spirit in the hopes that it might enable you to understand more of your own lives and what it may mean to you to be born of the Spirit. Last week, if you've not heard it, Colin shared a little of his story about meeting the Holy Spirit in a park in Edinburgh. Even though the church that he attended was not particularly conducive to that occurring, God finds you where you are. He finds you where you are. And God found me where I was in October 1989, just starting my upper six at year 13 at sixth form. My nan had died the previous year, just before I got my GCSE results. And I was struggling to reconcile the value of these qualifications compared to life itself, having lost her. I'm wondering what that was all about. Now, my dad had become a born-again Christian 3 years earlier at a Billy Graham mission. He always says life really did begin at 40 for him because that's how old he was. And I saw the impact it had on him. He changed. He wasn't angry anymore. He had been quite an angry person, and he wasn't anymore. And I think that's probably one of the most significant things that I saw as a teenager, looking at my dad going, what is going on? But he talked with us about the fact he would pray about things, and I could see those prayers being answered. So this was kind of like, okay, maybe, but you know, I was a teenager. And also the church that he was going to was full of old people, so I was just like, okay, I kind of see it, but I just didn't see the relevance for me. My mum says that her initial response to my dad coming home from Billy Graham Mission, being born again, was that she knew it was her way back. She'd grown up in the church, but kind of left that. And so it was 18 months later that she gave her life to Jesus, made a prayer, said a prayer. But for me, it was when an invitation to the cinema from a boy who I liked, there we go, I knew it was a Christian film I was going to, and there was a group going from his church, but it was an invitation nonetheless. And I was so giddy inside that I could not eat my tea properly whatsoever. I was just really nervous, and my friend was just not being helpful, as friends sometimes aren't. But I stepped out of the house to walk to the bus stop. This immense peace just fell on me. It was so contrasting from the giddiness I felt to this peace. And as I walked from the house to the bus stop and I stood waiting for the bus to go into town, I just knew I was going to meet God. That sense of peace, I just knew I was going to meet God. And I cannot tell you what the film was called. All I remember is this. There was this guy running around and trying to go and see Billy Graham speak, but failing dismally, and it was a bit weird. But what I do remember was when Billy Graham actually spoke. Like the 2 minutes of Billy Graham actually in the film, he stood at a lectern like this and he goes, if you knew Jesus was coming back in 30 seconds, what would you do? And it just stopped me. It was the one thing, I remember nothing else of the film, and it struck me and I thought, okay, right, I don't know. I didn't know. So after the film, we went to Mackie's, as you did, and my friends got his friends from the youth group were there, and they were all asking. I was grilled. I was like, what did I think? You know, well, I was like, my goodness, bombarded by these young Christians. Going, it was quite strange, to be fair. It was a new experience in itself. But I agreed to go to the Christian Union meeting at sixth form the next day. It was at lunchtime. But I woke up in the morning, and that morning, my bed was under the window at that time, so I just sat up in bed, opened the curtains. And there was this beautiful mackerel sky, kind of, you know, the scalloped, and it was pink. It was just beautiful. And I just knew then, I was like, there's got to be a God. There's just got to be a God. And since then, that very moment, me and God and clouds and skies have just been a thing. And sometimes when I'm upset, he'll just give me a lovely sunset, and I just like, thank you, thank you. Because you know what? There has never been the same sky. The sky's always different. It's always different. So anyway, went to sixth form, went to the Christian Union meeting, and so afterwards I told my friend, I said, yeah, I want to be a Christian. I waited till the end of the meeting, as you do, you know, we were actually in the locker room, about to go to lessons, and I said, yeah, I want to be a Christian. So tell me what to pray. Say sorry for my sins, and to invite Jesus to be Lord of my life. And then he prayed for me. And as he prayed for me, I just felt this level rising within me. Felt like I was being filled up. No, now, that was me. That was the Holy Spirit. Because I'd been open and I'd invited him into my heart, that was the Holy Spirit filling me up, a physical feeling inside. And that was my experience of being born again. Born of the Spirit. The Bible says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then Jesus is talking in John chapter 14, and I put this in because we're trying to think about the Holy Spirit being a person. And Jesus says this, he says to his disciples, because he's talking about going away and they're all freaking out. He says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." It's not simple. Because the Father in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is just not simple. But then, as he's about to send the Holy Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here in John 17, actually, I mislabeled that. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit to his disciples, he says, "But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." So my experience, Jeremy's experience, but it's what Jesus said. So we know it can be trusted because it's what Jesus said. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a person as much as he or the Father is a person. And our relationship with God as a whole has different aspects to this person. The Father is in heaven. Jesus went up and is seated at the right hand of the Father and sent the Holy Spirit to be on earth with us. The Holy Spirit is as much a person as the Father and the Son. And it's something that Jeremy Riddle feels the need to emphasize, that the presence that we feel when we're worshiping is a person. It's not just a presence. It's not a thing. It's that presence of a person being with us. And I always like to think of it, if you are at home alone in a house that's normally filled with other people, does it feel different because that presence of other people isn't there? Is it just me? Is that your experience? Yeah? Okay. So just likening that to the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I think we in this church are quite blessed. I think we do understand already that when we feel that presence, we know it's the Holy Spirit. We know he's a person. I think, you know, we can check. We've got that one. I think we know that. So following on from my encounter with God and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, as I gave my life to Jesus and accepted him as Lord, my friend arranged a lift to his church that Sunday morning. And so I went. From being a non-Christian Wednesday to being filled with the Spirit on Thursday and then surrounded by charismatic people singing in tongues on a Sunday, and I didn't bat an eyelid, and that's how I know that it was the Holy Spirit in me. And everything was new when I was taking it in, and then there was a moment for baptism in the Spirit as well. And I did write about this, but I'm not going to tell you about it because that wasn't the point of me writing it down. The point of me writing it down was because I commended Jeremy Riddle to you and I commended Emma to you both, actually, as people moving in prophecy. I cannot commend myself to you in the same way, even though I would put myself in that category. It's not my job to do that. And I was trying to do that by telling you my stories. There's only one person who can commend me to you at that moment, and that's the Holy Spirit himself. The person whose walk with God inspires me the most is my dad's older sister, my Auntie Mona. And she will be 92 very soon on the 14th. And when she tells me of the way the Lord has sent angels to keep her safe, she's literally held his hand in worship. And the most amazing encounter with Jesus that she told me about on the phone, that is worthy of Thomas putting his hand in the finger of the nails. Honestly, my heart was burning within me as she told me these stories. I just knew they were true, however amazing and crazy they were, because, well, she's related to me, so that says it all, really. Amazing and crazy experiences. I can chalk them up. If I tell you that Ezekiel is the person that I relate to most in the Bible, and you know what he's... Yeah. But this is... And I hope this is the next one. Yes! Brilliant. When the disciples are walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, this is there. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He disappeared from their sight and they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" So now my prayer is that actually God will do that tonight. That what I'm about to share with you, which I will be brief, I bring to you as a message from God, from my own prophecy, from my own meeting with him, as I learned from a man called Jordan Seng in October when I went to a conference. Prophecy is about perceiving what the Holy Spirit is saying, understanding what the Holy Spirit is saying, and then applying it. So I've spent a lot of the last 2 weeks trying to perceive what on earth the Holy Spirit was trying to say to us today. And he's been very gracious, actually. The morning after Dan's sermon on purity, I woke up with this word. Let's hope I've got my... Yeah, there you go. Yield. If we are born of the Spirit, if we're going to walk with the Spirit, this is the world. Yield. He says this. You're invited to exchange life for death. This is God telling me this. It's like, oh my goodness, got to write these down. So this is him waking me up in the morning with these. You're invited to exchange life for death. That's what happens when you yield. And he says this. The amount you yield is dependent on the amount you yield. As in, yield meaning fruitfulness, yield meaning surrender. I just really think this is a word, this is from God. As I said, I went to see, in Holy Spirit, in October, the Holy Spirit led me to Aberdeen, to the Scottish Vineyard Leaders Conference. Don't ask how and why I went there. But, oh, I was so blessed, and I so needed it. And I was reminded of this. And this is when I heard Jordan saying he is the pastor of Blue Water Mission in Honolulu. And he'd come all the way to Aberdeen in Scotland. And birthing that prophecy, perceiving, understanding, and applying, it all comes from our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it happens so often when we are worshipping, when we're having that moment of being in the presence, God speaking to us. By yielding and surrendering to him, we are exchanging the death that rules this mortal life for his life eternal. So, and this is where we got a bit carried away. Yes, I exalt the Lord daily. Yes, I expect the Lord does. Yes, I'll eventually lie down. Because, you know, some of us are a bit stubborn. Yes, I'll expectantly love diligently. I think that's one God's saying to us, actually. And this one, you insist. Everything lovingly done. As I say, the amount you yield is dependent on the amount that you yield. Fruit-wise and surrender-wise. And I think this applies to us as individuals as to a church. Do we come to church ready to give or are we taking? Sometimes we need church to survive our week and live off that input. But if we all came to church on a Sunday with our pots full of all our experiences of yielding to God during the week, what impact will that have on our Sunday worship? The most amazing moments I have had with God have been in my own home, in my bedroom, and in my kitchen, as I sought him. Now, there you go. You invest eternal life daily, or duly, or directly. There we go. That's the last one. I didn't want to leave you completely in the... I wanted to share my stories, and I have got loads of stories, but that's not for now because it's not about me. But I did want to share you some of the ways that I perceive God in order to encourage you to, if that fits with you. So first of all, my gut. Oh, because, you know, in this process, God said to me, he said, you have forgotten some of the processes you've been through to get to this point. He reminded me of that. So that's why I went back to the beginning, because I remember. So anyway. Perceiving God in my gut, which has happened more again tonight, it was a really giddy kipper. Twice I've heard an audible voice from out there, both on my own. And sometimes it's that longing, I just have that sense that I actually need to be here. One of those was when I was at uni, and I was sat in my friend's room, and he'd been annoying. There were other people in the room. He'd been annoying. I was annoyed with him. I knew I was. And I knew God was saying, just get out of here. And I had this utter urge to walk across the field to the other side of his room. So I did. I went, right, okay, God. Going out, walking, sit down, turned right around, looked back at the halls of residence. And as I sat there, I felt God saying, look at where you are. And I was like, I'm sat on a little hill at the foot of a tree surrounded by two other trees. And I could not, like, believe how physically God could have brought me to, like, the foot of the cross. A little hill with three trees on it sat at the centre, exactly where I needed to be to deal with that anger, but physically, that I just couldn't put words to, but God just dragged me physically to the foot of the cross. So that kind of stuff does weigh. Maybe that's just because I'm a bit thick. And words don't work. I also have a lot of internal monologue going on. Now, I've diagnosed autistic year before. So I have no idea whether neurotypical people have an internal dialogue or not, to you to tell me. But mine does. But the best thing about God is he jumps in too fast. I'm like, that wasn't me. And the most obvious one was when we used to have a prayer meeting at our house at uni, and one of my friends saw this weird face at the window, and I just thought, oh God, we're having a prayer meeting, we're catching the enemy's attention. And I went, we need angels outside the house. And straight back, before I had time to think, this voice in my head went, where do you want them? And I was like, excuse me? Where do you want these angels? Whoa. So that's another whole other story of it there. I'm going to stop because the whole point is to now come to him in worship, in surrender. It's my belief here tonight that as we worship and we yield afresh individually and as a church, that God is going to make himself known to you as we go from here. He is eager to continue conversing with us and developing our understanding of how we perceive him as we go home tonight. That this worship time, that actually if the band would like to come back up, I've been listening to the set of songs that Dan's put together, and I just really think God is going to move, and hopefully that you will perceive him in a new way or a fresh way, be reminded or actually be very confident that you know this is God. But he wants to keep talking to you as you go home, and I believe that there are some people that are going to wake up tomorrow morning with dreams, or that God's going to wake you up with something new. I really believe that tonight. And that as we develop our own personal times with God, that we will see this church move in a powerful way. The amount that you yield is dependent on the amount that you yield. Oh, one last thing. God was nagging me all week. Put an order in. I was like, well, put a shopping order in. I haven't the time to put a shopping order in. I wish I had, but I didn't. But I felt, until I kind of thought, oh, hang on a minute, is that for the sermon? He was like, and then he stopped nagging me. So, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Put an order in. Somebody needs to put an order in with God tonight. Louise and I will be available if you want prayer. But more than anything, I just implore you to open your hearts to him afresh and anew. And just, you know, he can do more than we imagine. And I've got crazy imagination, and he can do more than that. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. I invite you to stand. Let's invite our Holy Father here and the Holy Spirit here with us. And then the beginning of the first song has got quite a long introduction just to allow us space to shut my voice off and hear God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.